We have returned here on the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
Performance Radio News Director Zach Nelson and Beadle County State's Attorney Mike Moore as we return for what might be the last segment. We're not quite sure. Normally, we do five segments of the program, and the last one's a shorter one. But you seem to be convinced that we may talk ourselves right to noon.
Well, we ramble sometimes. I mean, we did 15 minutes on books in the first section.
Right, right. So it's been known to happen.
Yeah. But we'll try to do 10 and then take a little break and then do five more. I think the people really like that wrap-up five-minute section. I think they're calling for more of that, right?
Right. Mike, there are some changes afoot when it comes to the Beadle County Regional Detention Center. I know some things have been going on there with the county making changes, or what exactly is taking place here?
That's been on the radar of the commission and the sheriff's office probably for the last 2 years or so, because the numbers at the Juvenile Detention Center or the JDC have gone down drastically over the last 2 years. There's been periods of time where there's been no juveniles in there, which is in the last 2 years, that's been the first time since it's opened. When it opened in the early 2000, there was times when that was full. I mean, we hold 11, seven male, four female, and there was times when that was full. We couldn't take any more. But in the last couple of years, that's not been the case. And what you see is there's just a change in philosophy of what's going on and how juveniles are treated and what should happen to juveniles. And even before we passed Senate Bill 73, which we've talked about on this show, the philosophy of judges and others in the system has evolved or changed over the last couple of years. And JDCs across the state are being used less, that we're doing different things with juveniles. Now, people may agree or not agree with that. That's just the fact, the reality that the county faced itself in. So a decision had to be made what we were going to do with the JDC, because could we really justify having, you know, six full-time, two part-time employees over there operating a JDC that was empty more often than it should be? So are we being stewards of the taxpayer dollar by running that JDC, or can we use that money somewhere else? The commission and the sheriff's office got together. They talked out some options, and they had an informational meeting. They made an announcement to the employees here in the last month. They met with the commission on the 28th of January and talked about it. So they kind of have a resolution. How they're going to move forward.
What are they looking at right now? I'm assuming there's nothing that's been in stone yet, but they've got ideas.
Right. Well, what's the immediate thing is that you're going to try to change the schedule at the jail, and the people that work at the jail are a union, so there's some processes that have to go through to do that. But they're going to change the schedule. They're going to try to combine the operations. Now, there's requirements that when the JDC, if there's someone in the JDC, that person has to be sight and sound different, and a person working at the JDC cannot be working at the jail at the same time. So there's some requirements that they have to do. But I think the sheriff came up with a good plan. To have 16 full-time employees and two part-time employees to run all facilities. And it would cut down on overtime, cut down on floating, and we wouldn't have to lay anybody off. And that was kind of the key. That is the net result of that is we're going to lose three FTEs, three full-time positions, but those positions are empty now. We are aware this was, like I said, this was going to happen. So those positions weren't filled when they became open. And it looks like we don't have to no one's going to lose their job, which is the best thing, is everybody keeps their job, and we keep running both facilities. So we have the jail, but we also have the JDC available to us when we need it. There'll be four people on shift at the jail. And if the JDC is open and running, one of those individuals will be pulled off the jail shift and put it to GDC to run that center. So I think the sheriff, you get to give Doug Solem a lot of credit for coming up with the plan, and the commission for working with them to do that. And I think it's a good plan moving forward. But they were faced with that as a reality of what's going on with juvenile justice in the state.
Have you seen juvenile crime numbers then just come down? Because granted, that facility will take juveniles from around the area, correct?
Right. And you're right. And as you make a point, I said this at the meeting the other day, there's about 6 or 7 JDCs in the state, and each of them were assigned a territory, and we do risk assessments. So it used to be when a youth was arrested, they would call a judge, and the judge would decide whether they'd be detained or not. Now it's done by a risk assessment. So JDC staff are trained to fill out the risk assessment. Based on what that result is, they determine whether the person should be detained or not. And Butte County in the pecking order kind of got screwed because we don't have very many. Can I say that on the radio?
Well, you just did.
All right. Well, because we don't have our population base is small. And the counties that were assigned to the Butte County JDC is very small compared to, I think, the Sioux Falls JDC got 400,000 plus population center. The Butte County JDC got $60,000-$70,000 population center. Same thing happened to Brown and Hughes County. Just our populations are so low. So we're not seeing as many kids as we used to see because they were assigned a different JDC. So that was something that happened that affects our operations locally. We just have a smaller population base to draw from, a smaller number of counties using our facility for their purposes. And so that's something that the state did that changed it in the numbers that are involved over there.
I want to go back to what you said earlier, talking about the actual staff. You said no sight, no sound. What, I guess, talk about specifically what the employees can and can't do, I guess.
Well, so when the JDC is separate from the jail, they're separate right. buildings, they can't see each other, not involved together. And when a person is working the JDC side, they cannot have any responsibilities at the jail side.
Okay.
So when they're at the JDC, they can't do anything with the adult side. It's got to be sound different. They can't have, you can't work back and forth.
On the same shift that day.
Right. On the same shift that day. But so they if we have a kid in JDC, the person's going to come to work and they are only going to work to JDC. They're not going to go do anything at the jail. They're not going to do 24/7. They're not going to do anything. They're going to do JDC. That's compliant with what the federal law requires. So that's what we mean by that.
Okay. So in that instance, I mean, and maybe this is the case now, are all jail employees trained to operate both sides so they can be peeled right. off when needed?
Not right now. We have 6 individuals and 2 part-time people, so there's 8 people that are trained to do the JDC stuff. I think the plan is to eventually make that number greater, but right now it's just going to be those 8 individuals that can go over and work the JDC.
But they're going to be I hope I'm not confusing anyone here, but they have training for the adult side, or they don't?
Yes, the JDC staff over the last couple months have been trained to work the adult side. So those JDC people are trained at the adult side. It's just that the adult side people aren't trained to work the JDC side. That's something that will happen in the future. It just hasn't happened yet.
And then while we have a few more minutes here left in the segment, you talked about the philosophies have changed, again, prior to the juvenile justice reform bill. What sorts of things have changed, and why are we seeing this these lesser instances of juveniles being incarcerated?
Well, and that's a good question. I mean, the philosophy has changed in that what you would see juveniles placed in detention for in 2000, they wouldn't be placed in detention today. And the state has different views on things. The judges have different views on things. And that's who makes that decision. It's not done by the prosecutor. It's not done by law enforcement. It's made by the judges and by the state, probation officers that work for the judges, or DOC tracking agents that work for the state. Those things are made outside of the county. So the county doesn't really have any control over that. So the county can't place anybody in JDC. We just provide the facility, but the judges place them. But the philosophy has changed, and they're being used less. JDC time is being used less, and they're doing other things in the community. And again, we can debate whether they think that's bad or good. That's just the reality of the situation. And I give you an example, and we're running up on our 10 minutes here, but I'll give you a quick example. This would have never happened before, but we have a kid that's on DOC custody. And so that person has been sent to Department of Corrections. They're back in the community on aftercare. So he has a tracking agent, this individual. Individual commits a new crime, pretty serious crime. Doesn't go to detention. DOC doesn't revoke him, doesn't hold him in detention. So he is still out running around. Now, based on this new crime, I mean, it was a, like I said, it was a serious, it was rape. Just let him out running around. I was shocked by that. But that's the reality that we live in. So that would have never happened 5 or 10 years ago, but it happens today. And then the individual commits another crime, a sexual related crime. While he's out, he's still on DOC aftercare. I have him charged with a crime that's going through the process. We now have another report where the individual is going to be arrested again. The DOC still wouldn't hold him. And that's a state call. And they have their own deal. But in this situation, a risk assessment was done and he was held based on that. But before that, DOC would handle that stuff. They would send him back to a placement. They would hold him in JDC to let him be prosecuted. But now they just have a different philosophy. And obviously in this situation, I vehemently disagreed with their decisions, but it's not my call. And I can be as mad as I want and as upset, and I can yell at as many people as I want, but that's their decision. And I just don't agree with it. And that's where I think that the reality base of what we're doing, I mean, I think that some of these things have to be checked, because my thing in that situation is, what are you going to tell the victim? I mean, this person should have been locked up. He wasn't. And now we have another victim. And that's really hard for me as a prosecutor to deal with, when we could have done something, when something should have been done with this individual. And now I have to deal with another victim. That's tough. And if the state wants to tell me what I tell that victim, I'd be happy to tell them. I don't know. And I know that's the reality of what we're doing, and we try to do what we can, but I'm the one. It's not the state. It's not the DOC. It's not the governor. It's not the attorney general. It's none of those people have to meet with the victim. I got to sit in the office with the victim and talk to this kid and their parents about, you're a victim of a crime now. We have to go through this process. It's an awful process. And in my head, I think this all could have been avoided had we done or fulfilled our responsibility and take these things seriously. And that's where I say that that's the philosophy that has changed. And I agree with it in most situations, but in this situation, it's a terrible decision.
I know we're up against our time and we're probably going to wrap up here instead of going to a fifth segment. But Mike, I have to ask you then, when we talk about philosophy and how that's changed, this specific instance that you're referring to, that's not the result of things passed in the juvenile justice reform bill, is it?
Well, I don't think directly that's related to that. I think the juvenile justice reform bill is just articulating or stating or in writing what had been taking place for the last year and a half or 2 years. So I don't blame that bill. It's the philosophy, but the pressure that there's people that are making decisions and telling local people what to do. Like, and I don't blame the local DOC guy. I mean, he's not making that decision. He's being told what to do by a person in Pierre or by a person in Sioux Falls. Yeah, no, we're not going to lock this person up. And the reason is because, in my opinion, they don't want to pay for the JDC time. It's $200 a day to lock that person up. And the state would have to pay that. So they decided they're not going to lock this up. They're going to let him go through the prosecution. And then he commits another crime. I mean, that's a terrible decision, in my opinion, based on the fact that he was on aftercare, the crime that was committed. They still didn't lock him up, and then another crime is committed. I just, that's unforgivable in my
opinion. Have you been in contact with some others out in Pierre about this and possibly getting it changed? Because, I mean, I'm getting angry listening to this story right now. This is outrageous.
Right. I mean, and I have. I mean, you know me. I've voiced my opinion. I tell people what I think. So the word
occasionally.
The word is out there, what I think. I mean, they know my position, and I respect and understand what they're doing. It's just something that we disagree on. I mean, that's where I think that they really need to take a hard look at what they're doing. And by Pat and Senate Bill 73, that's the problem, is that they make so many things mandatory, and the biggest, you know, you can't go to the Department of Corrections unless you commit a qualifying crime. you can only be on probation for 4 months. I mean, that's not reality of what we're dealing with. Some kids need to be longer than that. Some kids need to go to Department of Corrections. We shouldn't just say absolutely not. It's not going to happen. We can't do that. We need to be more common sense about it and let people make decisions and not be told by people that are uninvolved in the situation what we should be doing locally. I mean, you're right. You can tell that I'm upset about it. But it is something that should be brought to your attention. It should be talked about more. And I'm willing to talk about it. And I'm willing to talk to anybody that wants. And they can debate the case with me. And I'm sure they have a good reason why they didn't do that. But I am yet to hear it.
I'm smelling a show for next month, maybe.
There we go.
Find some people. We'll bring them in. We've got to go. We are, we're late. Quite frankly, we're late. We got to get moving. We're past. We got to go.
Is it noon?
It is noon. Mike, thanks so much. As always, we'll talk to you next month.
All right. Thanks for having me, and we'll see you next month.
You've been listening to the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.